Dan, welcome into the roundtable. And we talked yesterday about the Red Sea and how much of a problem it's been in terms of the overall maritime shipping operation, but also going to get into rates here today in terms of how it's really affecting this economically as well. Joining me here in studio is Zach Strickland, our head of freight intelligence, and also joining us via remote is Henry Byers, our head of ocean intelligence there as well. So thank you both here for joining us. Henry, let's start with you. There's a couple of charts here that we've pulled out from Greg Miller's article that came out yesterday about how much rates have spiked here. And you can see the different routes that he's got here in this chart in terms of obviously things were going along mostly. And then all of a sudden we hit mid-December and we get a massive spike. What's your reading into this initially?
Well, you know, you look at the Panama Canal and what's been going on, you know, for a few months, and that coupled with now what's going on in the Red Sea, you're seeing really the impacts that that can have on, you know, carriers and their leverage and their ability to raise pricing. You know, they had been controlling capacity, you know, as far as, you know, removing capacity from service via blank sailings and also utilizing, you know, something that's relatively new as far as their strategy and just outright rejecting freight that's paying too low in hopes of paying, you know, higher paying spot rates. But now that coupled with, you know, these two issues and some main choke points on these global service routes, they now, you know, have significant leverage moving into the new year. And you do have different times where contract rates come into play in Europe. You know, it's the first of the year here in the U.S. It's after Chinese New Year in late March, early April. But all things considered, carriers have a reason to increase rates, and they're going to. They've been, you know, at some significant lows here within the last year, specifically early April. But we've, you know, seeing what they've been doing with rejections, we now are seeing that play out as far as, you know, what they're able to do as far as these issues effectively enabling them to, you know, increase rates because if they're having to pay more to go, you know, it's costing more to go around the Cape of Good Hope in Africa. And so, you know, all things considered, you know, they're able to leverage that across the board because I think the risk now to shippers is to the upside and they know that and they're taking an advantage, you know, across most service routes.
Zach, I had a chance to talk with Sal Mercogliano yesterday a little bit about this, and I tried to get him to kind of confer how serious this is, how much of a disruption this is. And obviously, he said, well, we really don't know yet because there's a lot of factors that could play into it. Number one being empty boxes in terms of where you put them. And then obviously, you're talking about areas at the Cape of Good Hope in terms of their being able to handle this as well. But as you look at this as a disruptor across the world stage, what do you see?
Yeah, you know, so far, not a lot for the North American continent just yet. Although you do see, I do find it interesting and fascinating that the rates from Asia to China, to North America's West Coast here in yellow are actually responding right now. And I think to Henry's point, that's due to a little bit of the manipulation of capacity with the carriers, because arguably we still have sufficient amount of capacity. I think Henry, we came on Freightonomics a few weeks ago and discussed how there is actually sufficient capacity. Now, how much of a disruptor is this, you know, truly at this point outside of that manipulation? We don't really know. So they're, you know, they're doing what they can as a business to kind of manage their models. And we just don't know, those two things mixed with how long does this conflict kind of manifest? How long does it last? That's probably the biggest factor. And the fact that we just had, you know, in Greg Miller's article, I mean, the whole point was that They were, Maersk was trying to get through the Red Sea. And they thought that because there was, you know, sufficient, you know, safety net around them that they could do that. Now, nobody really believes that. Mm-hmm. And so, unless there's something that changes significantly there, this looks like it's going to last for another 6 weeks, which again, Henry pointed out, Chinese New Year's right here. Mm-hmm. And I think from my perspective and the North American Transportation Department, we've seen this elevated demand still coming in to the Southern California ports over last year. I think we're up roughly like 10% year over year in terms of booking volume into the West Coast. So it's still in an, I don't want to say that we're seeing this like pandemic era demand, but it is stronger than we expected. And it looks like companies are their inventory correction has largely manifested already, which means we could potentially, if this persists for a long period of time, mm-hmm. we could see another disruptive type event hit the West Coast for sure.
Henry, same question to you in terms of how much of a disruptive effect do you think this is going to have? Obviously, we're seeing, you know, a massive spike here. But as that spike was implemented, it looks like things have leveled off, at least for the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple things. I think when you look at, you know, the timing of Chinese New Year, like Zach was alluding to, you know, as far as the upwards pressure on rates for, you know, the next month, let's say, to the you know, U.S. West and East Coast, that is when we're going to see, like Zach had mentioned, you know, demand. I was looking at, you know, all ports to the U.S. Just a couple of days ago. We're up, you know, between 17 and 20% year over year. And yeah, some of that's timing. You know, Chinese New Year changes each year. It's not always on the same date. This year it's on February 10th. So in the lead up to Chinese New Year, you're certainly going to see a bit stronger demand than we anticipated. So that coupled with what's going on from the capacity side and carriers, you know, ability and their leverage going into, you know, these spot rates during this next month, I think we're going to, you know, see higher rates for that period. But ultimately, it comes down to demand. You know, what does demand do after Chinese New Year? I think there's significant room for it to be, you know, the risk is to the downside, in my opinion. When it comes to demand, if you look at what's going on with the consumer, I mean, it's just been incredibly resilient. But I think there's still enormous headwinds facing the U.S. economy at large and the U.S. consumer specifically. So that's one thing I'm looking out for. But also, when you look at the Panama Canal, if that worsens, if what's going on in the Red Sea worsens, the U.S. East Coast is going to be overweight in terms of how it's impacted and the risk that it has going to those ports. Therefore, as Zach mentioned, we had really expected the West Coast to show significant movement upwards in terms of container spot rates, and that's what we've seen. But we haven't really seen the demand increases above what's already elevated to warrant even further increases. But it's one of those things where if enough volume gets pushed to the West Coast due to these ongoing issues in both the Red Sea and the Panama Canal, now we could be looking at a scenario where heading into a busier time period, and it could be even peak season of this year, where you see significant upwards pressure on both rates, but then also, you know, capacity being extremely tight. So it being essentially a scenario where carriers are justified in those rate increases. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, but it all depends on what happens in terms of these issues resolving or getting worse, and what goes on with demand heading into, you know, the busier time period, say in late summer.
He led me right to my next question, which, of course, is the Panama Canal and right. The fact that it's obviously made a major disruption here as well. How much does that key into the fact that now you have both major canals right now, obviously one almost not working, the other very, very, very slow? How much of this is a disruptor to the North American East Coast?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to be a disruptor, but I don't think it's going, like, it's hitting at a time where arguably shippers have time. Importers have time. January, February are two of the slowest months of the year. Now, we're seeing elevation year over year because largely last year they were still working through that inventory glut. So I don't know that it's going to be a huge disruption, like domestically speaking. Like there's just not the current demand level that's going to make some sort of spike. Now, to Henry's point, though, I think the real concern is about downstream of all this, like March, April, May. That's when some of the seasonal demand really starts to pick back up. Have shippers been able to bring in some of this freight that they actually ship now for those spring volumes? And that's going to be the big question, is like, if we have this long extended period of they can't import freight into the East Coast and then shoves everything into the West Coast, we now have an overweighted West Coast situation where there's a bunch more freight coming across the country than we expected. And I think that when you have West Coast heavy freight markets, that can be very disruptive. This time of year, however, like January, February, the Southern California markets die. Yeah. There's just not a lot there. But we have seen a little bit of year over year growth there because of that inventory correction. And I just, you know, it's too early to call it just yet in terms of disruption. But if this does persist, we do have a potential. And we've been talking about, you know, domestic truckload capacity correcting this year. I don't know that it's going to happen in the first half, but it is eroding. And these things kind of coming together for later in the year peak season, absolutely a potential.
Yeah, definitely. There's was including as well if the we don't get a good rainy season in Panama right. there as well. That's also up there as well. Henry, as we look at obviously we look at another tip here from Zanetta and looking at the Far East to the main Mediterranean. Is this a a situation where this is going to affect all shippers relatively equally? Or obviously, if you're looking at this particular route, one of the obviously huge aspects of it is fuel and oil going to Europe, that in an aspect. But is this going to affect all carriers kind of equally, or are some going to be more affected by this than others?
Well, I think your first point was to shippers. So if you're, you know, you're importing into Europe, largely, I feel like it's going to have almost equal weight from a shipper's perspective. If you're in Europe, and look at U.S. shippers, certainly going to be overweight in terms of who it impacts. If you look at the shippers that are dominant on the East Coast versus shippers that have, you know, a good network across the country, certainly impact them differently, I think. But as far as the European network, which is primarily, you know, impacting the most, we're looking at the carrier side. What's really interesting is what Sal Mercogliano, I mean, I'm not going to claim to be a maritime security expert by any means, but I think if you pay attention to what's going on in their realm, it is interesting what's happening with Costco and the Chinese carriers. So if you look at Costco, OOCL being maybe able to move a bit more fluidly through that area, and it's kind of unknown at this point why. But I think the suspicion perhaps is, maybe the Houthis are not attacking them, or maybe it's overweight in terms of who they're attacking as far as, you know, having a U.S. or European influence. But I think the CMA is also one that's, you know, experimenting, getting through, maybe offering some additional protection from their military. But right now, I think if you're freight or you're a carrier and you're, you know, with MSC, Maersk, Capag, Lloyd, I mean, any of these guys outside of the ones that I mentioned, as far as, you know, still experimenting with the Red Sea, you certainly are going to be impacted more.
Zach, real quick, is anybody in a bad situation that needs to start thinking about contingency plans at this point?
Everybody does. I hate to say it, but I mean, also the worst thing that could happen is if people overreact right now, start shipping. Like, that's what happened during the pandemic, is everybody's like, just in case, bring it all in.
Sure.
So that actually could create the problem. But there are a lot of unknowns, so you definitely need to make sure you have a contingency.
We are definitely keeping an eye on this as well. Henry and Zach, thanks so much for joining us for our roundtable. We will take a short break and come back and wrap up this edition of FreightWaves Now after this.